Man, I'll tell you what, I've heard so many good things about Stillwater. My first time in this location, so you guys are awesome. I really feel a good vibe here, and I actually was part of the team that helped take on this location, and why I've never gotten here before now, I don't know, but I'm here now, surprise, surprise, so it's going to go good today. This is only my third time ever in Stillwater. Now, we've been all over the country. Man, we made a drive last year from Albuquerque to Anchorage and back, and took us about 3 weeks. I've been here and there and all over the country at different times, but this is my third time in Stillwater. The first time I was in Stillwater, I was a freshman in high school, and we were here for some kind of a FFA event. I was a green hand, I think. Was it green hand? Something. Anyway, and we were on the campus down here, and we were on the sixth floor of, I guess, one of the dormitory buildings, and a tornado come through, and they moved us all down to the basement. And I thought, I don't like Stillwater. No, I wasn't it. I thought, okay, we're up here high above everything. This building should be secure, so why take us to the basement? And they said, well, what if something happened? I thought, okay, if something could happen, now we're on the basement where the whole building falls on us. I thought, I would have rather just stayed up there, but this is my first experience with Stillwater. So I'm hoping today will go much better than that. Amen. This morning, I told Abby where I was going, but I've changed my mind already, so I hope she didn't put it up there. I don't use an outline, so who knows where it's going to go from here. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1 this morning, if you have a Bible, and I'm going to read part of verse 1 to start with. Now, I've been a part of Victory Life Church for a lot of years, and we have a lot of locations, and the personality in each location is somewhat different. You guys are a great church, but the assignment of all of us is the same, is to take the gospel to the world. But each location has an assignment also. Each location has something that God has tasked them with that they need to do. And, you know, when I look around where you guys are situated right here, there's no better place to be situated that I can think of than a town right here in the good old state of Oklahoma. Amen. How many like that state of Oklahoma? Not only that, you're right here next to one of the greatest colleges on the face of the earth. Amen. And you are a part of the greatest church on the face of the earth. Amen. That's who you are. But the opportunities are just absolutely phenomenal. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's give it up for Rose and Brady this morning. One more time. Amen. Thank you, guys. They drove all the way up. Brady's parents actually go to our Broken Bow location, and they serve there. And before we had a location in Broken Bow, they served at Hugo. And I mean, they've just been the salt of the earth their whole life. And it just amazes me as I go around, we have so many people that really love God, love His people, and are helping to build great churches in all locations. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created." Stop. In the beginning, God created. Now, the word for God there in the literal Hebrew was a word that was both masculine and feminine, and it was plural. And it says, in the beginning, God created. If you knew nothing about God and you were starting from the beginning with God, the only thing that we know about God at this point is that He is a creator. You may not know Him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. You may not know Him as the God our peace. You may not know Him in a lot of aspects of His life and who He is and who His character is. And it's amazing to me, the first thing that God reveals to us, the church, about Himself is the fact that He's a creator. He's a creator. He's a God who looks into nothingness. Not at nothing, but looks into something that's not and calls things the way that He wants to see them, instead of looking at things the way they are and saying that's how it's going to be. But see, the word of a king, the decree of a king, the decree of a legal authority, once it's spoken, it is. And the Bible says that He said, light be, and light was. When God began to create things begin to take place and things begin to take shape. Well, it goes on to say that you and I were made in His image. In the likeness of God we were made. And at this point, the only thing I know about God and the only thing I know about myself at this point is either I'm either male or female, because that's what God was. He's also plural, and that means there's more to me than just what you see. But what I also know is I'm a creator. God has given me the ability to create. He didn't ask me, am I worthy? He didn't look at me and say, are you good enough? And as a matter of fact, before the foundation of the world, the scripture tells us, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling you and I back unto Himself. I tell you, Mike's shirt, the giraffe shirt, way to go, Mike. They forgot, there you are. It sparked something in me. I have a friend there in our local community is a true entrepreneur. I mean, I know a lot of business people in business and a lot of entrepreneurs, but this one, his name is John. He's a true entrepreneur. He's always creating. He's always building things. He's always doing things. And he doesn't know God. He doesn't know Him. And I've talked to him multiple times, and he and I had a pretty good conversation just a couple of weeks ago out on a job site where I run across him. And the shirt sparked me because he and some of his buddies have went to South Africa, and they're building a lodge, a huge lodge. And they're bringing people from all over the world to come in and hunt and take them on these safaris and things like that. And he's doing all these things. And it just reminded me, because God calls us many times, even before we're right with God. As a matter of fact, every time before we're right with God, God has already called us and He's already set us on a course and He's already putting markers up for us to see if we can recognize these things. If we can recognize these things, He'll put us on a road that not only will bring glory to Him, but will also satisfy us. Now here I have my friend John, and he's going all over the world. And he's if you want to, I don't think I would expose anything by saying what I said about him not knowing God, because I told him he didn't know God and he needed to, so we've already made that plain. But if you want to write this down, write House of Guns, House of Guns. Go on the internet, look at the store they built in our little community of Basel. It is one of the greatest gun stores you could ever go in your life. But in this store, he has all of these stuffed animals. He's went all over the world killing and buying these trophy animals and things like that. And he's got these things up there, and you can kind of get an idea of that. And that's why the shirt sparked this thought in my head. Even when we're not right with God, God is so creative, and He wants His creation in the earth so much that He will use anyone that will submit and listen to Him. The Bible tells us in James, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Right? Well, how many of you know not every good and perfect gift that we see was created by someone who serves God? Right? Look in aerospace, look in medicine, you can look at technology, you can look in agriculture, and all the things that where businesses are created around the world, not everyone is serving God. But everyone has a creative gift on the inside of them that God put there. No accidents are on this earth. God has put something inside of each and every one of us, no matter what it is, to be the best in our category, to be the best in our field, to be the best at whatever it is we choose to do. God has given us creative abilities and ideals and the wherewithal and the want to do something better than the way we are. There's something creative inside of us. There's something on the inside of us that wants us to do better, to be better, and make things right. We don't always know what it is, but it's God Himself. Let's look over here at Joshua chapter 1. Now, this has always been one of my favorite scriptures. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And after Moses, Yahweh's servant, died, Yahweh spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' faithful assistant, and said, my servant Moses is dead. Now think about this. There's probably not a more famous man on the face of the earth than Moses. His spread, his fame has went before him. God has miraculously led Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Pharaoh's army was killed in the crossing of the Red Sea, etc. Famous man. Everybody knows about Moses. Joshua is number two in command. And one day God speaks to Joshua, and you would think it would be some great revelation. But when God comes to Joshua and says something to him, he said, Moses is dead. Now, how many know that Joshua probably knew that already? It's on all the news channels. It's on cable news. It's on CNN, NBC, Fox News. It's on every outlet you can find at that time. Everybody knows that Moses is dead. And God appears to Moses and says, Joshua, Moses is dead. I just wonder how many times we miss God. Looking for something spectacular, looking for something phenomenal, looking for something big, looking for something that we've never heard or seen before, and we miss the very supernatural presence of God just making obvious to things that are all around us, just trying to cause us to be aware of things that are all around us. Joshua, Moses is dead. Can't look back, Joshua. It's time for something different to take place. See, as a creative person, we shouldn't always just be in a rut doing the same thing the same way all the time and wondering why we're not getting out of the ditch or ahead. Every one of us should at least be smart enough to say, if what I'm doing is not working, I need to change. Now, we don't like change most of the time. Most of the time we like comfortable. Maybe you're not that way, but I am. I like comfortable. I like my chair. I like it where it's sitting. I want it sitting the way I don't want to move it. I don't want to put it on that other side of the room. I like it on this side of the room, right where it is. And then when I get it changed, and I finally get used to the change, I like it where it is. Don't put it back over there, you know. God comes to Joshua and said, Joshua, Moses is dead. I'm sure he was mourning, and what are we going to do now? How are we going to get ahead? How are we going to go forward? What are we going to do from here, God? Moses died. I mean, Moses was the man. He had the answers. He's the one who could go before God, and God would visit with him and talk to him, and he could bring that wonderful message back to us, but he's not with us anymore. And what are we going to do? And God simply comes up and says, he died, Joshua. It's over. Don't look to Moses any longer. It's time to look forward. Can you imagine the weight of that? There, Joshua, I don't know what he was thinking. Probably down and out, and they're best friends more than likely. They grew up together. Joshua has been a young boy, and he's watched a whole nation literally above 20 years old die off in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And yet he and Caleb stayed strong and stayed tight with Moses. And he died. Now watch this. He died. I've got some notes over here in my Bible. I said I don't use outlines. I don't, but I do use a few notes. Sometimes not enough. And you're probably saying, we can see that. You're making it obvious. You need more notes. Joshua chapter 1 again. After Moses' death, after Moses, God's servant died, God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. Now get up. I'm going to move over to this other one because I have some notes in it. It says, and saying unto him, Moses is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet shall, for future tense, shall tread upon, I have given you that land. I've already given it to you. I've already settled it. It's yours. You just have to walk it out. From the wilderness, and he goes on to talk about where it goes in verse 5, there shall not any man, any authority, any person be able to stand against you. Listen, guys, I know sometimes we look at ourselves and we see people around us that are smart and intelligent and people that seem to have more of everything than what we have. They have a better house. They have a better car. They have more money. They have more opportunities. They have the right this, the right that, the right spouse. They have this and all of the things going for them. And we look at that sometimes and we say, I can't compete with that. And let me tell you something that's just, it's just like a revelation. If this light comes on, it'll change you forever. You're not competing with anybody. No one. You're you. You're you. You have to walk in the lane that God has given you to walk in. And don't get out of your lane. Stay in it. It makes you unique. It makes you special. See, Chandler, or rather, Stillwater shouldn't look like Chandler or look like Brownwood or look like Durant or Sherman or any other location. Stillwater should look like Stillwater. And yet Stillwater has to wake up every once in a while and God say, that way is dead. It's time to do something new. It's time to do something new. That's what happened. And no man should stand before you. No obstacle, nothing. If God has called you to do something, don't limit yourself by what you think you're not. Just say, well, God, if you called me and you said this about me, it must be so. And I'm going to believe your report. And I'm not even going to believe my own report. I'm going to believe the report of God. So what could God be possibly saying to Stillwater? Why would I say bring a message like this that Moses died? Why would I be coming with a message that quit looking back? We have to look forward now. There's something new on the horizon. What is it? Well, now that's a different story altogether. Let's keep reading here. We might even get an idea. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Now, see, typically, if you're like me, I think I know what words mean. I don't always know what they mean. I think I do, but I don't always know. When you're trying to translate something from an ancient language or even a modern language that's different than our own into our own language, sometimes things get lost in the translation. When I see the word courage and I see the word strong, I'm thinking of this kind of strength and somebody who can just walk into the face of a fire or a lion or anything else without fear or even at least managing their fear. But let me give you the definition for the two words that were used for courage and the word that was used for strength. The word courage means this. It means to be alert, steadfastly minded. To be alert and steadfastly minded. In the Hebrew, Strong's Concordance is word 553. 553. To be alert and steadfastly minded. The word strong is a word 2388, and it means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, courageous, strongly, to cure, to help, to repair, to fortify, or to conquer. So if I could boil this down into two words, it says to be strong, to be courageous. It means to be alert and seize the opportunity when they present themselves to you. Be alert, be looking, and be expecting God at all times to come rescue you in your time of help and time of need. Well, what does that mean? Well, what does it mean? It could mean anything to you as well as it could to me. I remember the first time when we really started getting into believing the things of God and trying to test God. And it was so comical how ignorant I was. I mean, I was trying to believe God, and the teachers that I was kind of growing up under were talking about all these exploits of faith and things that they were doing. And I did not have a clue hardly about anything. I just was trying to believe God. I knew he was a God of miracles. I had been convinced of that. And I wanted to see God move on my behalf. And I remember when we first started. One night, I think our oldest child was about 6 months old. And just screamed out one night in the bedroom. And Donna went in and she come out and said, man, look at this. And his ear was just glowing red, and all behind it was red. And you've seen a kid with an ear infection, right? I mean, you can't touch them anywhere. They just, it's just pain, excruciating pain. And back now everybody just goes to the doctor, you know, like 7 or 8 times a week, you know, emergency room, and they made it easy. And we didn't go to the emergency room. We didn't go to the doctor very much. We just kind of did things ourselves. We used Campofenique and Vicksav. And if that didn't fix it, what else is going to fix it, you know? Anybody good? Mercurochrome or methylate? Mom would always buy Mercurochrome because it didn't hurt. My grandmother used methylate, and I'd refuse to go to her house in case I get a scratch and put methylate on me. Campofenique, it's amazing. It's great stuff. They need to bring it back. But, you know, we're sitting there, and she said, he's hot, he's burning up, and he's got an ear infection. And I said, well, we've been believing God to be a miracle-working God. And he told us if we'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Let's just test it. And so we prayed for him right there, and we tested it. And you know how they're just, you know, relief whatsoever and just crying and one of those, it's going to be a long night. You know what I'm talking about? And just instantly, almost instantly at least, he went to sleep. Ear was still red, laid him down. He didn't wake up the next morning completely well. Now, it seems like a small thing, doesn't it? But see, we were in the beginning stages of our walk with God. We were in the beginning stages of our evolution, coming to know God in a better way, kind of realizing that this creative ability that God uses is on the inside of me, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us. And one of the doctrines that we follow, according to Hebrews chapter 6, is the laying on of hands. There's a transfer that happens when you put hands on people, when you just touch people, when you just shake hands with someone, when you just hug someone. There's a transfer that literally takes place. There's a transfer that happens. And I'm just wondering if when we're looking for great, grander things, when we're looking for spectacular things to happen in our life, we're the next inventor of the greatest medicine, or we're this, or we're that, or we're the whatever, the richest man in whatever county this is, whatever the case may be. When we look at them things, I wonder if sometimes the things that we're missing are the simple things like, just pray for your baby and watch me heal them. Just lay your hands on them and say, in Jesus' name, be healed and watch what I can do. Be alert and seize this opportunity as a way for me to show you my glory, my goodness, and my splendor. When we, again, about this same time, this is when, not long after that at least, I've been kind of trying this stuff out and going around, even speaking in a few places and things like that. And this was when the first satellite televisions came out, and they had those dishes that were about 60 miles across. You remember those? Huge. They'd shade out the whole garden and put it out, you know, kill your garden. They were 7 feet across is what they were. And my mom and dad had gotten a satellite television. And we was over there a few times, and we'd see them, and we'd never seen Christian television or anything like it in our life, just what you could get on the radio occasionally. And we were watching that, and we'd go over sometimes and hear different guys speak, and we had some of our favorites and some we don't listen to, etc., like anyone else. But I'll never forget this one day. I was driving down the road and just thinking about God, and I had been trying to believe God to just kind of live a life without medicine. And I started with headaches, and I'd get a headache, and I just believed God, and I wasn't going to take aspirin or Tylenol, or well, I don't even know if they made Tylenol back in those days, whatever it was, I don't remember. Something to make your head go quit hurting. And I was just driving down the road, and my head was hurting. I had a lot of jobs, and we worked for a major corporation as a contractor, and we went all over the southeastern Oklahoma, just in multiple counties working, and jobs going everywhere. And I needed to be thinking, I needed to be concentrating. We have our ranch, it demands a lot of my time and attention, and raising the kids and the employees and just taxes. And you got all these things going on in your head. My head was literally just throbbing. I wanted to stop and just lay down and just kind of blank out for a minute. But I was on the road, and I thought, I'm going to believe God for healing. I'm just going to believe him. I don't have to take pills. I'm going to believe him. I don't have to take these Tylenol or whatever it was. And I'm sitting there, but my head's hurting. And I thought, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take these Tylenol. I can't think. I'm getting kind of dizzy, and my head's blurry, and I'm sorry. Maybe I'll try it next time. And I heard God. Everybody wants to hear something really spectacular, you know. Thus saith God. You know, go out and touch the water, and it will split in two. No, he said this. He said, aspirin has nothing to do with whether you're healed or not. I said, what? And he said, what I say? I said, you said, by your stripes I'm healed. Has that already taken place? I said, yes. So when did your healing happen? I said, well, a long time ago. He said, what's the medicine for? And I said, well, it relieves the symptoms. He said, ah, has nothing to do with whether you're healed or not. You can take the medicine and still believe God you're healed. It was such a revelation, and I just almost spit it out the window because it didn't seem like that much to me. It was like God told me, that, okay, all right, I'll take the aspirin and went on. Okay, here's the secret point of my story. We're sitting there one day in my parents' house, and it's a Christian television channel on its own, and they advertised this couple that had went around the world with a healing ministry. Their name was Charles and Frances Hunter. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them or not. They're old-timers. So if you got an old black and white television, you might go back and find them. But you could Google them, Charles and Frances Hunter. They were really old-timey Pentecostals who just went around the world. Miracles happened. There was even a time when they were translated, like in the book of Acts, from one town to another in just in a matter of seconds. Just phenomenal things like that. And she came on, and she did most of the talking, and he had power, but she was the one who was the voice. And she was advertising they were going to be on the show that night, and God had given her this great revelation. You guys have got to tune in. I'm going to share something with you that will literally change your life forever. And I just couldn't wait. I had to hear what she had to say. And when I got it on and we turned it on, and the first thing she said, God showed me this great revelation. And they said, what is it? She said, God said, healing has nothing to do with whether you take medicine or not. And I thought, I knew that. I'm not on TV, and I knew that. Maybe I should be on TV. No. I didn't realize how significant it was. See, someone had walked this walk a long time, realized how anything that God tells you is extremely significant and worthy to be embraced and taken in. See, I had saw something, and I had literally was alert, and I heard from God, and I seized it, and I took that in, but I didn't realize just how powerful it was. And see, I just wonder how much further along we would be instead of us always looking for something that shakes the world and just follow God one step at a time. Even though it seems to be small, it may be the very step that's going to get you closer to maybe something you never even dreamed in your wildest imaginations that God could do for you. Moses is dead, Joshua. And you'd think God would say, man, I know you was really close, and man, I know y'all were just buddies, and man, I hate to see you lose him. God didn't even say any of that at all. He just said, now get up and go forward. Don't cry over what's taking place. You can't change what happened, but you can change the future. If nothing else, you can change your future. Get up and go forward, Moses. Seize the land. Be alert. And when opportunities present themselves to you, grab those opportunities and embrace them. Man, I'm telling you what, maybe this is not as complicated as we think it is. Maybe you don't have to be super spiritual and fast 6 weeks out of the year. Vow never to eat a cheeseburger again. Get behind me, Satan. Maybe it's something much more simple than it. Maybe it's God's word on a daily basis that brings about a dynamic working in your life. Something that can literally change you. Look with me at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I won't be much longer. Not sure how long I've been going, but some of you may think, well, forever. I'm going to go on down and skip through, and I'll just rehearse, but we're going to be down in about verse number 28. This is the woman at the well, who Jesus has come to her and offers her a drink of water. And he said, if you'll take this water that wasn't natural water, you'll never thirst again. And it changed her life. By him speaking into her life. Him recognizing something inside of her that no one in her life had ever seen before. All anyone else ever saw was an opportunity. All anyone else before that time had seen someone to use, someone to abuse. Jesus saw beyond even her lifestyle and the things she went through to bring her to where she was and said, I'm going to offer you something that would change your life forever. Now watch this. He hadn't had much luck in this town. She was the only one. All at once, the woman left her water jar and ran off to her village and told everyone. Everybody say, told everyone. How many? She told everyone. I got to get down here. I'm on metal now. I need to get in your face a little bit. I can't see you well up there. I don't see if you're registering this right or not. Here's a woman who was what you might call on the fringes of society. She was an outcast, an outskirt. She had tried many things, like the woman that had the issue of blood, tried many things, many physicians, but it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. This woman had had five husbands, and he never condemned her. He just said, look, it's not, look, you've had five, the guy you're with is not your husband, and it's kind of like Dr. Phil. How's this working for you? You know, I can just hear Dr. Phil's voice coming through to her. He didn't condemn her. Did you know that God spoke a promise to Abraham and Sarah and said, out of you, I'm going to bring forth a child and he's going to bless the earth and whoever blesses him, he'll bless them and et cetera, et cetera. Went on and the whole world's going to be blessed because of your child. They got impatient. They go out and they come up with a plan of their own. How many's ever done that? Impatient. I think we all have, if we'll admit it. We think, well, God said, listen, time doesn't mean anything to God. God is before time, he's after time, he's through time. He made time for you. He made time for ages, but God supersedes time. So if God says, I'll be there in a little while, that could be like a year and a half or 12 years. Who knows? He don't care what time. Time don't mean anything to God. He just said, do what I tell you to do. Now, they have a child outside of their marriage with a handmaiden. His name is Ishmael. Did you know what? God never one time criticized Abraham for having Ishmael. Not one time. Well, we can't use him in the ministry. He's got a bastard child. Isn't that the word they used to use? Maybe not so much anymore. I was trying to think of the illegitimate. Maybe that's a nicer word. I forgot. Words are words. He never criticized him. But I'll tell you what he did do when he still hadn't got it yet. And he said, well, maybe you're going to use my Eliezer, my servant. Nope, not going to be Eliezer. It's going to be a child through your own loins. He said, so Ishmael, no, not Ishmael, but because Ishmael is your child, I'm going to bless him anyway.
That's good.
Oh my God, is that good or what?
That's good.
That's good. You mean God's going to bless my mistakes? He will if he has to, because he's going to get his will accomplished in each and every one of your lives. No matter what you've done in the past, who you are, where you came from, or who says you're not worthy, or you're a mistake, or you were an accident, God says, because you belong to me, I'm going to bless you anyway. Now, he had a special promise for Isaac. There's no doubt about it. But he blessed even Abraham's mistakes. So I'm going to get a blessing one way or the other. I just know it. I don't know what it's going to be yet or when it's coming, but it's mine. So this woman, all she did was tell people, come out and meet a man at the well who told me everything I ever done. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I want to testify, but I don't want that testimony to tell everything I've ever done. How many wants that testimony? Man, I don't want that testimony. Not, but it excited her so much because someone could see the real her on the inside. Look beyond what everybody else overlooked. God looked past that straight in to who he had created her to be. And he woke up those creative energy on the inside of her. He woke something up on the inside of her. Now, here's my thinking. What if we were to look outside these doors instead of seeing a lost generation? These young kids today, they're just goofy. They look this and they look that. Go back, some of you, and just look at some pictures from Woodstock at our generation. That's a weird, weird look. Every generation has the potential to be the greatest generation that's ever walked the face of the earth. Yeah, but they've been left to themselves. Well, then they're a fresh, clean slate that God can do something great inside of them. And when God comes to the rescue, he wakes up something on the inside of them that's been laying dormant their whole life. A guy pulled me aside. What is today? Sunday, okay. Yesterday morning, I went to a men's breakfast. And these two guys, and I knew who they were, but I hadn't seen anyone in years. And man, they were outlaws. Everybody say outlaws. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever you think, that's right. I don't even have to ask you what you think, but that's what they are and were, not are. I'm going to change that. And they were at the men's breakfast. And I thought, wow, I'd heard that they might have gotten saved. And they were preaching, and I've been kind of watching this, and they've been going to the jailhouse and everything. And one of them pulled me aside and said, come outside for a minute. And I thought, well, let's frisk you first, see what kind of guns you got, knives. He said, do you remember 13 years ago when you come up to me and asked me if I'd stolen this or that off of you? And I thought, no, I don't remember that. I really didn't remember that. I don't remember that kind of stuff. And he ran with a crew that I was told, now I remember when he brought it back to my remembrance, and I barely remember it. I really still don't remember his name involved, but I remember the incident. And some of the other outlaws had come, and they all want to tell on each other, so you don't look at them, and they'll just make deals and everything else. So it's really easy to find stolen stuff a lot of times. Just go to the right outlaw, and he'll tell on his buddies. There is no loyalty among thieves. I don't care what they tell you. There's no loyalty. And so he said, you know, everybody said I got this or that off of you. And I said, well, I don't remember that. And his name is Mitch. I said, Mitch, I don't remember that. He said, well, it's true. And that's what was said. And I said, but man, I still remember. I'm sorry. He said, I just want you to know it wasn't me. I said, okay, I believe you then. He's serving God now. He had no reason to lie to me after all this time. I didn't hold nothing against him because I didn't even remember it. I don't hold grudges very easy. I just didn't remember it. And they got to telling me about everything that they're going through. They had been on every kind of drug you could think of. They lived their whole life, this group, stealing and breaking into houses and cars and just anything they could do, not working and roaming all hours of the night, seeing what kind of mischief they could get into. Now they're going to the jailhouses. They rented a little building, they're creating a church. And he said, we don't want normal people in our church. I said, what do you mean? He said, we want people nobody else wants. And that's where they were going. If you know a dope head, you send them to us. If you know a lady who's living on the street, you send her to us. Those are the people we want. And they are knocking it out of the park phenomenally right now. Going after people. What happened? What happened? When God visited them, he awoken. All right, is there an English teacher in the class? Who's pretty good at English? Is it awoke? Awaken? So we've got a controversy between the smart people. So can I use whatever word I want to then?
Wait.
Are we all confused? We're going to all be confused before this is over.
Awakened them.
Awakened? He awakened. Can I use that word? Okay. Yes. So we're all about as ignorant as we could look, right? So I'm in good company. I come from Boswell, remember, so I'm in good company. I can go anywhere. I have been at places before, and a guy come up and says, "You're from Boswell, aren't you?" And I said, "What do you mean? Who are you?" And he said, "Well, I can just tell the way you guys talk. You're all just alike." I said, "Are we all that ignorant sounding?" I guess we are. But see, God awakened something, woke, revived something on the inside of him that had been lying dormant, looking for a way out. Looking for a way. He got confused. He got on the wrong track. The enemy took him down a wrong road, but God was waiting on him to surrender. And when he did, he woke that up on the inside of him. Now, this is what's happening. If we keep looking back to what used to be and what once was, we're going to miss what God's doing now. We're going to miss it. Because God is right now waking up people of different ages, different groups, different nationalities, different ethnicities, different cultures, different backgrounds, different educational levels. Apparently not here, but other places, different educational levels, that he can wake up to send them out into the world, into their generation, into their community, and just tell them what God did for them. That's all. That's all you need to win the world is what God did for you. He's going to have people that specialize in teaching and training, et cetera, like that. But he said some, not all. A few are going to be like that. But every one of us can tell something to someone about what God did for us. And you don't even have to be the best communicator in the world to do it. You don't have to be a great communicator. You can work on your communication skills. There's nothing wrong with that. We all should. We should all work on being better communicators, finding better ways to say it, better ways to present it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually good. I love to hear people that sound smart, even if they don't know what they're saying. So she said, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the one we've been waiting for." Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. What if you spent just some moments of your day every day? When you start your day, say, "God, just use me. Use me to help someone today, somewhere." It could be a smile. It could be someone who's just literally falling apart in a restaurant who's trying to serve you and they just can't. You can see they're having a stressful day. And you say, "Hey, you're doing fine. We're okay." "Yeah, but it's okay. God loves you and you're going to be fine." There was this little coffee shop we go to, and there are just some nasty men that go. Just brutal with their words and don't think about it. And this little young girl that hired, and I'm telling you, she wasn't real bright. I just had to be honest. And she just kind of haphazard, dingy. Dingy is a better word. You know how, just scatterbrained. And she was just running in circles. She'd forget this, forget that. But she's had a lot of energy. She just couldn't direct it in a very good way. And these two guys had just got all over her that morning because this order wasn't right. They didn't like this and they didn't like that. And she was literally in tears. And I said, "Hey," I called her Bernadette. And she always answered. I said, "Hey, Bernadette." "Yeah, what?" And so we went through about a year of me calling her Bernadette. And one day I heard somebody else call her a different name. And she answered to them. I said, "Why'd you answer to that?" She said, "Well, that's my name." I said, "Yeah, but I've been calling you Bernadette. That's not your name." She said, "Well, no." I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" She said, "Well, it didn't matter. You thought it was my name. It was okay." So I still called her Bernadette. Even though that's not her name, and I don't even know what her real name is, I forgot. But anyway, she was about to just cry, losing it. Here she was, her husband had abandoned her. She'd been in and off drugs her whole life, trying to straighten her life out. She had about three or four little kids from three or four knuckleheads that wouldn't take care of any of them. Just stressed out, trying to figure out how to feed those kids and how to work a job. And she was just losing it. And I said, "Hey, just slow down. Those guys don't matter. You don't even pay them any attention. Whatever they say about you is a curse and it's not of God. What matters is you're special, you're a mom, and God has given you the blessing of four children, and I know you're having a hard time, and I know things aren't going very well for you right now, but I'm telling you right this, just release that, don't accept that, don't buy their lies, and I promise you God's going to do something good in your life. I got more free food than you can imagine. And I finally said, this ain't right. Quit giving me free stuff in here. I'll pay for it. I'll double pay. And I had to end up paying extra sometimes to make up for the free stuff she had given me because that wasn't right. But her heart was big. She's just giving somebody else's stuff away. You know what I mean? But see, when she sees me now, she's not completely out of the woods yet. But she wants to come up and say, hey, how are you doing? Tell me about her kids and things like that. Why? An act of kindness. Non-judgmental kindness. She already knows what her life is. I don't have to tell her. She wakes up every day and looks in the mirror. She knows what her life is. And when she looked at her next to somebody else, she said, there's something's not right. There's something different about this. These two are not the same. I don't have to, all I can do is tell her how to have this life. And she can choose whether to receive that life or not. This woman, you got to realize what people thought about her in her community. Women wouldn't let their husband go down by her house because they was afraid they might lose him. But they saw something so profound in her that when she told them what this man Jesus had did and read her mail to her, the whole community came out to hear what he had to say. So I'm going to close on this. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And Philippians chapter 2 said, where your light shines, the dark, the greatest is in a dark and a perverse nation. All you got to do is just keep your word. Be kind, be patient, be friendly with each and every person you come in contact with. Just love them and let them wonder, what is it about you? You're sowing a seed, even in an act of kindness. Somebody else may be the person that God sends along to water it, which doesn't matter because God is the one who will give the increase. Amen? You can go ahead and start, Brady. I kind of know when I'm done. A lot of preachers don't know when they're finished. They just go and go and go and go and go and go. The prayer team can come up if you guys would like. Doing, you might be saying, I'm just soaking in the presence of God for just a moment. Just close your eyes, just soak in His presence for just a moment. I cannot believe, nor will I accept the fact that I've spoken here now for a few minutes and I haven't challenged you. I cannot believe that God is not stirring something on the inside of each and every one of you. I just refuse to believe that. I believe that the words that went out this morning were from heaven, through me, full of life, full of power, full of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God is stirring something up on the inside of each and every one of you. Do not get caught up in the trap of we're good. We're good. And not realizing Moses died. There's a new way, a new order, a new time. There's a new release of the Holy Spirit being poured out right now in Stillwater, Oklahoma. God is saying, I am raising this community up to change this town. I'm raising this community up to invest in the people that I send here from all over the world for education. But I want to send them out with more than just a degree. I want to send them out in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, but that's not what they came looking for. The woman I addressed at the well didn't come looking for what I gave her either. And yet when I came in contact with her, something she wasn't even looking for, it changed her. And if you will let me live big on the inside of you, you will come in contact with people and they will see something they don't even know they need. And it will awaken them. So I'm releasing right now a spirit of boldness. A spirit of boldness for anyone that will reach out and take it right now. I will not embarrass you. That's not my objective. I will give you the wisdom, even the subtlety of wisdom. I will show you how to take people aside in a quiet place and just let them tell you their story, and then I will give you words to say inside of them. And I promise you a revival can break out right here and go around the world from the people that I'm sending purposely to Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I will send them from this place if you, my people, will shine and let them see what's on the inside of you. Make room, make room, make room, make room, make room, make room, make room. Sometimes I'm hearing this, and now this is what I think. Sometimes we get a new chair, we got to throw an old chair away to make room for the new chair. And God says, make room for a new move in what I'm doing. And then you begin to plan to make rooms in this house for new people to come in. And if you'll accept that and receive it, I literally will change this community, for I will not do it without you. But I will do more than you can imagine with you. I love you, God. Oh, thank you, Father. I want more. I'll take more, Father. I'll take more. I want more. Show me what I need to move out of the way to let something new come in. Show me what's dead. Show me what's not working. Yeah, but what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? What am I going to have to give up? The disciples asked Jesus, I've given up everything. I've given up everything for you. And he said, there's nobody that's given up lands, businesses, cattle, homes, family, for my sake and the gospel's sake, that I will not give it back to them 100 times over. I might add with persecution. not only in their life to come, but also in this life. I've surrendered everything I've had to God at different times and multiple times. I love to ranch. I love our business. And I've given it to him so many times, and he just keeps giving it back to me. He just keeps giving it back to me. He doesn't mind you being you and having your identity. He's not trying to make us clones of one another. He's not trying to make us all poor. He's not trying to put us all out on the street living in a box. He don't mind you having things. He just doesn't want those things having you. And if you'll really, with your whole heart, surrender your life to him, he'll give it back. He don't want it. He'll give it back to you. In John 12, he said, if a man hangs on to his life, he'll lose it. But if a man will lose his life for my sake, he'll get it back. Amen. These guys will pray for anybody in these prayer. Won't y'all guys just come on up here to the front or across here? You won't bother me. I'm sorry about the echo. I think I'm doing that. When y'all pray for people and lay your hands on them, do y'all expect something to change? So anybody wants to come up and have your hands laid on them, God's going to heal them, isn't he? He's going to drive the demons out, right? And he's going to give y'all good words for them, right? How about you guys? Same thing goes? Okay. You need somebody to agree with you in prayer, these people are serious about it. They will lay their hands on you, and their hands are fairly clean, I'm sure. I'm not sure about you. They're clean, all right. And listen, we're a community. We're a community, amen.